is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps people find fulfilling careers. Every Wednesday on this show, I interview a career expert. We discuss the tools you need to find the work you want. This week, I'm talking to Heather Gordon and Moira Farnsworth about how staffing agencies work. Heather is a senior recruiter, and Moira is a staffing consultant at Boyle Welch. It's a staffing agency here in Portland, Oregon. And they join us today in the MaxList studio. Heather, Moira, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mac.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, it's great to have you both. Heather, let's start with you. You and Moira work at a staffing agency. Let's start with the basics. What is a staffing agency, and why should job seekers expect when working with a company like yours?
That's a great question, Mac. A staffing agency is an organization that helps companies find specific talent, and it helps candidates find specific careers with companies that are here in the Portland metro area.
Okay, and our listeners are across the country. So staffing agencies like yours follow similar practices, whether they're in Oregon,
definitely,
or New York, or Florida, or California.
Yes.
And when a job seeker gets in touch with a staffing agency, what should they expect? What kind of services can they expect to receive?
That's a great question. You know, it starts with a candidate that comes in and is seeking employment. We like to have candidates come in when they're at the beginning of their job search so that they can chat with a recruiter, and that recruiter can really get to know that candidate and talk about what their pain points are, what their motivators are, and what they're going to be looking for in their next position. And that recruiter is going to be the catalyst between helping that person find the right organization that will fulfill those needs for them. The flip side of that is that organizations will come to us and they will ask us to help find specific talent for them. So in essence, we're matchmakers.
And Heather, I know that you're a recruiter. You help place people in permanent jobs. Now,
yes.
Moira, you work with employers who are looking for temporary help,
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us more about that and what kind of services job seekers can expect to receive.
Yeah, so when our clients call us looking for temporary support, that could be for any number of reasons. It could be that the company is expanding rapidly and they're not exactly certain about what their full-time employee needs are going to be. It could be that someone's going on a long vacation. It could be someone's gotten sick, you name it, and we kind of see it. So our responsibility to our clients is to keep a really robust pool of candidates at all times so that when we get an emergency call from a client, we can look around and see what fantastic candidates are available to walk into the role and hopefully ease the tension over at our client. Candidates are registering with us, what we like to make sure that we cover with them is just understand not only what their short-term goals are, so not just what they want out of a temporary assignment, but also what they are looking for in a long-term career goal too, because we might have an opportunity for a candidate to slot into a temporary assignment that will build skills towards that long-term career goal.
Well, let's talk about those career goals because Heather, I know you work with people who want a permanent position and employers who are seeking candidates like that. And what kind of expectations do you think candidates should have when working with a staffing agency? For example, do you find that sometimes job seekers think that your company can help them just find a job and sort of outsource the search to you and your teammate?
That's a great question. And one that I think a lot of people are misinformed about. I think the best way to utilize a recruiter's help is to start with them earlier in your search when you don't feel desperate to take anything. Because really for us, we are trying to match people with careers that are going to be long-term. For me in the direct hire division, and for Moira, it's a little bit different. If you go in knowing that using the service of a recruiter is one piece of the toolkit that you have as you seek a job, you'll recognize that you are going to be looking for a position on your own. Simultaneously, this recruiter is looking for that specific position that has been narrowed down to any type of search criteria you've discussed with them. So when you come in and you're desperate for a job, it's a great time to get some temporary work and use that as much as you can until you find that great permanent job. If you think that a recruiter is going to manufacture a job for you, we probably will not be the best resource.
And just to be clear, there probably aren't any staffing agencies out there that are in the business of manufacturing jobs for job seekers, are there?
God, I'd love to know about it if there are.
And I bring this up because I certainly see this in my conversations with job seekers. I imagine you two do as well. It's a common misconception out there about staffing agencies.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what drives that, I think, is often job seekers don't understand you're working for the employer here. That's how you get paid.
We are paid by the employer. That is true.
And talk more about that dynamic and why that matters in the relationship.
That matters in the relationship because ultimately we have to present candidates to the employer that match exactly what they're looking for. Oftentimes employers will come to us because they've posted a job on their own or it's been on their website and they're just not finding the type of talent that they're looking for. So they'll come to a recruiter and they'll say, narrow this down for us. Can you hand select three or four candidates that are going to best match what we're looking for? And as a recruiter, we meet hundreds of people, you know, on a monthly basis. And so we really are looking to narrow that field and be surgical in how we present those candidates to folks. And so when a company says, all right, I want this person to have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, we're looking at the candidates that have all that and simultaneously looking to see if that organization is going to offer that candidate that has all of those back to them. So that's where the match is made. If we have a candidate who doesn't have all of those requirements, a company is not going to be real eager to pay us that finder's fee. And simultaneously with that, there are sometimes opportunities when you're working with a recruiter that perhaps you don't meet all the criteria that they're looking for, but there might be something else that you have that company hasn't thought about that you can then present to the organization and say, you know, this person may not be great at, you know, managing travel internationally, but they've managed such complex travel domestically and they have such a, you know, outstanding learning capacity that we really feel like this person could tackle this position with ease with just a little bit of extra training. And so sometimes those objections can be overcome because of the personal value and the personal touch of using a recruiter that has that relationship with that particular client.
And so you're looking for candidates who can meet the needs of your client, the employer. Typically, Heather, do you present two or three candidates to an employer?
Yeah, we do. We try to narrow it down to no more than four candidates per job because, you know, really part of our service is give them exactly what they're looking for. And sometimes it may not be four candidates. Maybe it's only one candidate that matches what they're looking for, and we'll start with that. And that will give that client the opportunity to say, all right, well, let's expand the search. And we're willing to be a little more flexible on some of these things here. And let's look at the candidates who may have a little bit more of a diverse skill set and that not be as specific.
So you're presenting candidates to employers. So if you're a job seeker and you have a relationship with someone like yourself, that's a benefit. You're getting in front of hiring managers that you might not otherwise meet. What are some of the other benefits, Heather, for job seekers of working with a recruiter like you at a staffing agency?
I think if you are a candidate and you connect with a recruiter that truly understands what your motivators and goals are and the culture that you're looking for and the work-life balance, you can find that recruiter is going to have you top of mind when that particular opportunity presents itself. I've been doing this for a while now, and there are a few candidates that I've placed three or four times because of various different reasons that the job that they're currently in is no longer going to work for them, or the companies have been acquired, or various different reasons. And I feel like I developed such a great relationship with those candidates because they'll come back to me and they'll say, hey, it's time to start looking again. I know you know what I like and what I'm looking for, so let's do it again. And then we just kind of touch again on what are the motivators this time? What is your salary requirement this time? You know, do you still live in the same location? How far do you want to commute? We kind of touch through all of these things. What experience have you gained in your last position that's going to make you a more, you know, viable candidate for the next role that you're going to take on? So I get to know the candidates quite well in that regard. And the flip of that is that as I stay in connection with the companies that are hiring, I learn about what those companies are doing, what changes have they made, how have their benefits become more robust, or, you know, what are the challenges and the pain points that they may have had in the last year or two or 3 years, and, you know, why is a position open? Is it open because somebody's left the job? Is it attrition? Is it somebody's moved here? And to your point earlier, we have 100 people moving here a day. So there are a lot of candidates that are job seekers and don't know much about the organizations. And so we're able to provide them some information about those organizations as well.
Terrific. Maura, I want to ask you, I know many people take temporary work through a staffing agency with the hope that it might lead to a permanent placement. Talk about that. What kind of expectations job seekers should have when they work with someone like you who is placing them in temporary jobs? Is it realistic to think if you find someone a temporary position at an employer like Nike that they might end up working there permanently?
Well, I am going to give the age-old answer, it depends. So,
okay. That's a good answer.
It's a true answer.
Yeah,
You know, we have a very fortunate vantage point of having long-term relationships with clients so that when we find a particularly compelling candidate, when we make the introduction, we have in our mind that this is a good enough strategic fit for that client that maybe if there was an open position, that person could be considered. Unfortunately, we're not able to make any promises, but we definitely are fortunate enough to have the types of deep relationships with our clients so that we can say, "This, we think this person would be a great fit for your organization, maybe not in this role permanently long-term, but maybe if there was another opening." So we're able to have kind of a consultative relationship with our clients. On the candidate side, which is really what you were asking about, that's why we want to understand a candidate's ultimate long-term goals, because if it's a candidate that needs to continue to acquire a particular skill or is thinking about making an industry change, we're able to present them with the idea that this is going to help them long-term, even if it doesn't flip into a permanent position.
Okay, I want to talk more about that. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Maura, I want to continue that conversation about how you might be able to turn a temporary position into a permanent one. Mm-hmm. Stay with us, and we'll be back in just a moment. If you're a regular listener, you know that Portland, Oregon is the home of Maxlis. Portland is a great place to live, and you can find rewarding work here, too. But landing a good job in Portland takes planning and effort. It also requires knowing what local employers want. I've got a free guide that can help. It's called How to Find a Job in Portland. Get your copy today. Go to maxlis.org/portlandjobs. Competition for the best jobs in Portland can be tough. Every day, more than 100 new people move to my hometown. But if you want to stand out with Portland's employers, you need to connect with the right people and understand the city like a local. How to Find a Job in Portland gives you 8 steps you can take to find and get in front of the hiring managers you want to work for in the Rose City. Get your free copy today. Go to maxlis.org/portlandjobs. Learn about the job boards only Portlanders know about. Find out where locals here go to network and see how you can navigate Portland's hidden job market. Download How to Find a Job in Portland today. Go to maxlis.org/portlandjobs. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the Maxlis studio. I'm talking with Heather Gordon, and Moira Farnsworth of Boyle Welch. Moira, before the break, we were talking about a question that often comes up when I speak with job seekers, and I expect you get it a lot too, that how to turn a temporary position into a permanent one. And you were making the point it's really important to communicate what your goals are as a job seeker to the person you're working with at a staffing agency. So in other words, tell people what you want. Mm-hmm. What else would you recommend that people do besides sharing their goals?
I think one circumstance or scenario that comes up often with many of the candidates I work with for temporary positions is that candidates are possibly considering making a job change or an industry change. And temporary work can be a great way to do that. It doesn't always mean that you can do it, depending on what the roles and responsibilities of that particular temporary assignment require. But a temporary role in a new industry can be a great way to test out if that is the right industry for you. It can get very relevant and recent experience in that industry or that job title on the top of your resume. But I also think it's important for candidates to be realistic about temporary opportunities. It is not always the case that the client is going to be able to make that hire. Maybe, you know, especially in cases where it's a medical leave or maternity leave, that person's coming back to work. So this is really a great opportunity for the candidate to get in there, learn additional skills, learn a new industry, make connections so that when that assignment comes to an end, that, you know, they're going back out into the job market with more information, which is always my hope. It's always my hope that a candidate leaves an assignment having a lot more information to help make a decision about a permanent job search.
You mentioned being clear about your goals. If you're interested in making a switch to an industry, using temporary work as an opportunity to do that and building relationships when you're inside a company, what things do you recommend that job seekers who are in temporary work, seeking a permanent position, not do, Moira?
That is a really interesting question. I guess I haven't thought about it from that angle quite before, but I would say that I could see the tendency for a person in a temporary assignment in a new industry to then re-narrow their search almost too closely to that new industry instead of being continuing to be a little bit open. It's challenging when someone wants to make an industry switch. You know, they're very excited and gung-ho on that new industry, but there still could be some opportunities outside that very specific realm, especially in a temporary capacity, that could have them continue to build additional skills that would be industry agnostic. So I think that would be my caution.
Okay. Well, Heather, before the break, you were talking about people you've worked with over the years have come back to you 2, 3, even 4 times that you've been able to successfully place in permanent positions. What do you recommend people do to build a relationship with a recruiter like you? How do people who stay in touch with you do that?
I think that the people that I place, I try to keep in touch with them. And sometimes it naturally happens where they check in with me and they may say, gosh, this is the best job ever. I didn't think about how all the possibilities that were here. I really love it. I just want to say thanks for that. Of course, that's the best possible option, right? Sometimes somebody will come back to me and they'll say, you know, I really thought this was going to be a great job, but it turns out management is shifting or there's a bunch of people that are leaving and I don't think it's going to be the best fit for me long term. Let's reignite our search and see if there's anything else out there that might be a better fit for me. So those are the two most natural ways for me to stay in touch with candidates. And sometimes you just have a natural affinity towards somebody and you just really hit it off with them and you genuinely are curious about what they're doing. And it's much easier to stay in touch with them that way. Plus, I think some of those candidates refer their best friends to you or people that they are their best colleague. And I think that's the best way for me to meet new candidates, as a matter of fact, is because we have a saying just amongst ourselves that swans fly with swans. So when you have a really wonderful candidate and they have their best friend or their sister is looking for a new job, they're going to say, go back to Heather or go back to Moira, go back to this recruiter that I use because they helped me find exactly what I was looking for.
So for people who might not have an introduction to a recruiter and may never have worked with a staffing agency before, let's go back to that first step when they walk in the office or they send an email. How do you recommend, what happens? And I open this up to both of you, because I know you're working in different sectors, temporary and permanent employment, but it's the same company. When someone contacts a firm like yours, what happens? What's the first step?
The first step is that a candidate will send their resume in. And we have a team that looks at every single resume that comes into our office, and they parse them out to the recruiters based on their, you know, past experience. So after that, when a recruiter looks at that resume and you're looking at this person's background, there are many different things that we're using to identify whether or not we feel like we're going to be able to be a resource to this person. And let's say we determine that we will. We invite that person to come in. They fill out our application so we can get the basics on that person. And the first point of contact will be the person that calls them and says, hey, I'm here from Boley Welch. Thank you for sending your resume in. We have a recruiter that would like to have a conversation with you and learn about your background. From that very first point, it's the first opportunity you get to understand how that candidate is going to respond and communicate. And the hope is that they're going to be very friendly to the person that's trying to make them, you know, give them the opportunity to come in and have a conversation with us, and that they have a great experience, that person makes it very easy for them. And then from that point on, it's all about the connection of coming into the front of the office. They meet our receptionist. What's that interaction like? As with any organization, that receptionist is going to tell everybody in the office how that person behaves if there's something that's off. And so my recommendation is always treat that receptionist with as much love and kindness as you can.
I'm a big believer in that too. Yeah.
And then from then on, it really is, it's a sit down face-to-face conversation, you know, and we try to make it as easy and relaxing as possible because we just want to have a conversation with you and discuss your background. And so during that period of time, if you can be genuine, your genuine self, and really talk about things and feel comfortable with your recruiter, it's going to make the rest of your experience with them so much more pleasant.
What would you add, Moira?
Just a couple words of caution, I feel. Oftentimes when I am out in public and tell people what I do for a living, folks will say things like, well, I applied to another agency and I never heard anything back. And I'll dig a little deeper and I'll come to find out that this person may be an electrical engineer, but they applied at a recruiting agency that only does economics. You know, so it's a total skills mismatch. So when selecting a recruiting agency to reach out to, I would caution candidates to be really clear in their mind. Do my skills align with the overall business areas that this agency recruits in? So I think that that's a pretty common thing I hear. And there are agencies that work in all sorts and stripes of different industries. So find one that really appropriately matches your skills.
That's great advice.
Yeah. Any research tips for listeners who want to suss out the agencies that are in their city? For example, I know in Portland, where I think we rank 25th in population in America, there are probably 36 staffing agencies in the metro region. Mm-hmm. So in larger cities, obviously, there are going to be more. There are a lot of choices, which is good.
There are.
But how can listeners find the right staffing agency? How do you recommend people research that?
I think if you're looking at particular jobs that the staffing agencies are listing and they are exactly what you've been doing and what you're looking for, that's the first line of defense, I would say. And then look at the reviews. If there are a bunch of people saying this is a really great organization and I've had a great experience working with them, I think that's a piece of it. You also have to take that with a grain of salt because there will be plenty that will post reviews that they'll say that they never called them back or they never found them a job. You know, we don't place every candidate that we meet. Not every job seeker that comes through a staffing agency's door is going to get a job through them because it is the majority of jobs that are placed with candidates to companies that we work with is all about timing. Mm-hmm. You know, if that employer, if the employers in the Portland metro area are not hiring for a specific job that a candidate is looking for at that particular time, there's not going to be a match made there. But that doesn't mean that you could get a call in 3 months from that recruiter that says, hey, you know, I know you've been working on this temporary assignment for a few months, but we have the best job that just came up that's permanent. Let's have a conversation about that.
You made this point in the first part of the show, Heather, but I just want to emphasize it again. People should not put all of their eggs in one basket here.
That's so true.
A staffing agency is one strategy that you should follow in a job search, but it's not the only one, is it?
It sure isn't.
I will say too, whenever I'm meeting a candidate, I like to set expectations that we can be a good long-term relationship for you. When you're meeting with a recruiter, when you're partnering with Heather, she might not find you this next job, but 3 years from now, when a job that rings the bell for what you had shared with her at the time, she may pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, I haven't talked to you in 3 years, but remember you told me that you were looking for a job that has XYZ. I finally have it for you. And I always say, you know, when you partner with a recruiter, just look at it as a long-term relationship.
I want to call out a point you made there, Moira, about the importance of sharing your goal, because it's not that somebody dropped off a resume with you or mm-hmm. Heather or one of your colleagues, and then that didn't prompt a call 3 years later. It was because this person said, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. It matters a lot, doesn't it?
It does. I feel that sometimes folks will come into a recruiting agency believing that we are kind of like the career services office at a college. And we're not. We're not able to, it's not really part of our abilities to coach folks into job changes or getting clear about their long-term goals. We work best with candidates who have done that work and walk through our doors and are very clear-eyed about what they're looking for.
And that works because employers have told you exactly what they want, haven't they?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So know what you want before you walk in the door. And it's okay to work with multiple staffing agencies, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, and that's very common, I imagine.
It is.
Yeah. Good. Well, terrific. Well, it's been a great conversation. Tell me, what's next for you two?
Well, Bully Welch has decided to run a series of brown bag lunches talking about job searches more broadly speaking. The kind of idea is that we are going to spend a little bit more time, a little bit more developmental time with candidates who want to kind of reimagine their job search. And so we have a series coming up.
Well, that's great. And I know people can find out more about not only that event, but you have some great career and job hunting articles and other services on your website. Your website can be found at boileywelch.com. Now, Heather, Moira, if there's one thing you want our listeners to remember about working with a staffing agency, what would it be? Heather, would you like to lead off?
Yeah, I think that if you're going to work with a staffing agency, start earlier in your search than at the end of your search when you might feel a little more desperate to find the right position. And know that that recruiter is going to do their absolute best. We want to place everybody that we meet, even though we know that that's not possible. But be open. Speak to all of the things that really are your motivators and know that that recruiter will come to you when that exact position is open. In the meantime, search for jobs on your own and see what else you find. And if you find something that that recruiter hasn't helped you with this time around, know that you can come back to them when the next move in your career is going to be the right time for you.
Terrific. Moira, what would you add?
I would add that people, we love to hear from candidates. So as you're going through your permanent job search, if you're in a temporary assignment, keep us apprised as to how that job search is going. We definitely want to know where you might be, you know, your head might be taking you next for your job. So we always appreciate feedback and information from our candidates. And also, please be nice to the receptionist.
Excellent point about the receptionist. Well, thank you both for joining us today. That was a terrific conversation with Heather and Moira. Here's my big takeaway. It is so important to know what you want before you reach out to a staffing firm. Because when you are clear about what your goal is, the company can help you because they are hired by employers to fill particular positions. And staffing firms are not career coaches. So you need to do that work before you pick up the phone or send the email to a staffing firm, whether you're looking for a temporary position or a permanent one. Now, Heather and Moira are both from the Rose City here in Portland, Oregon, and they help a lot of people find jobs in Portland. If you're listening here in the Pacific Northwest and are starting a job search in Portland, or you're thinking about coming to Oregon, we've got a new guide that can help. It's called How to Land a Job in Portland. You can get your free copy today. Go to maxlist.org/portlandjobs. We lay out in 8 steps everything you need to do to find a great job in Portland. Again, that's maxlist.org/portlandjobs. Join us next Wednesday. Our guest expert will be Angela Yeh. She'll explain why mindset matters when you pivot careers. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.